Okay, turn in your Bibles to Jonah, chapter 3. And we left off last week in verse 4, the preaching, the message of Jonah. It says, "And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, 'Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown.'" Now, we've already covered a few points regarding this. I think it's interesting that Jonah didn't come into the city of Nineveh and say, "Don't worry about a thing, God loves you." He didn't have bumper stickers that said, "Smile, God loves you." He came into Nineveh and said, "Repent! You got 40 days or God's going to pour out His wrath and His judgment upon this country." He challenged them. He made them aware that they were sinners, that they were under the judgment of God if they did not turn, if they did not change their mind about who they were, what they were doing, and their relationship to Almighty God. Another thing I found interesting. Jonah's message was delivered in the streets of Nineveh, where the people were. He didn't print up flyers and say, "Hey, I'm going to be in the center of Nineveh. Everybody come and hear me preach. I hope you'll come." Now, believe me, I believe inviting people to church. I've done it for 41 years. When I hand out tracts, I always tell people, "Hey, this is a great tract. I hope you'll read it. It talks about how a person can be saved through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And here's our church address is on the back. We'd love for you to come." So I think we ought to do that. But he didn't wait for the inhabitants to come to a building or a cathedral. Rather, he went to where the sinners were. And he preached in the open air. We must likewise take the saving message of the gospel to where sinners are. Bible says, "Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." I'm afraid churches have got this backwards in the last couple centuries. We build buildings, and thank God we have a building that's paid for, that's comfortable. As far as I'll go, I'm thankful for it. We don't have all the fancy things a lot of churches do. And I thank God for that, but I'm going to tell you something. Evangelism goes on outside these four walls. It's where people live and where you interact with them and the workplace and how you live before them. We have to take the saving message of the gospel outside of our church building. The Lord commissioned us to go with the gospel. I'm going to tell you something. A church that has no concern for sinners, that never passes out tracts, that never witnesses to people, that doesn't support missions, they're not worth a nickel. It's one of the first aspects of the grace. You won't have anybody to baptize or to teach if you're not going with the gospel. I'm afraid a lot of churches in our day, they provide a lot of things. Entertainment, activities, programs for the kids. But how many of them are really taking the gospel to people? Really telling people, repent and believe the gospel. Study the book of Acts. That was the consistent message of the early churches. Wherever they went, they never wavered. They had one gospel. Peter preached it, Paul preached it, the apostles preached it, the churches preached it. I fear that too many preachers and church members are idly waiting for sinners to come to church rather than going where the sinners are. You say, well, I'm concerned about the heathen. Well, you ought to be. And if you think the heathen are just in the deepest part of Africa or Saudi Arabia or Afghanistan, then obviously you haven't been to Walmart lately. Believe me, there's plenty of heathen. People that don't know Jesus Christ all around us. We literally have a culture, a society that is anti-Christ, anti-God. And I'll illustrate it for you. When was the last time anybody witnessed to you? Invited you to church? Talked to you personally about Jesus Christ and His saving grace? When? Where? It's not happening. You see, politicians and atheists and people who want to purge God, secular humanists, from our society, they've been beating the drum for years that religion, oh, that's just private. It shouldn't go outside the church. And there's coming a day, it may not be too far off. I am seeing in the United States of America a real hindering of our First Amendment rights. Freedom of speech. You say, well, it's a crime. It is, but let me tell you something. We're the only country that actually has, we're the first country that had that written in their constitution. Freedom of speech. Freedom to assemble. A constitutional republic has been a great experiment fueled by a capitalist system of an economy. Laws founded upon a Judeo-Christian ethic. But I hope you're waking up to the fact that secular humanists and atheists and communists and globalists don't want any part of that. They don't want God out in the open. They don't want the message of Christ. They don't want to give people the freedom to assemble and to speak in the name of Jesus. And they're going to start clamping down. It's already started in some ways. I remember a few years ago when it was right after homosexual marriage was past. What a farce. And then the very next day, I can remember it just like it was the very next day all the transgender nonsense started. And I remember there was a mayor in Houston, Texas, or one of those big cities in Texas, said that she was going to, he or she, I can't remember what they were, that they were going to require that preachers send in their sermons so that they could be checked by the local government to see that there was nothing, no hate speech in it. I'm going to tell you something. You read the Bible and you start wanting repentance like Jonah said, repent or you're going to die in your sins and go to hell. Oh, that's hate speech. Can't have that. Now, of course, it didn't fly. I remember people getting up on their high horses and saying, I'm not going to do that. I won't comply. Folks, there are lily-livered, weak-kneed, pink lemonade preachers all over the country that are bowing to the dictates of a system that is so contrary to God. I pray that we stand. That we earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Even if it means bodily persecution, imprisonment, beatings, death. Say, come on, Brother Ross, aren't you being overly dramatic? Have you read the Trail of Blood? Have you studied history beyond the last 4 years? Our people have been persecuted, hated, hounded, and put to death for centuries. America the first nation that really gave freedom of religion. And sadly, that freedom is at stake. But you know what? I don't need the Constitution to preach the gospel. I don't need lawmakers to approve or disapprove of me preaching the gospel. I have a commission from the head of this New Testament church, Jesus Christ, who said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. I don't need the government's permission. I don't need the permission of politicians or Facebook or all the other things, Twitter and Snapchat. I'm not on any of those things. I'm barely hanging on Facebook, I'm sure. We must go with burdened hearts to sinners and preach to them the only message that's able to save their souls and deliver them from eternal punishment. You have it. If you're saved here today, you've got the message. It's changed you for all eternity. May God give us more diligence in our efforts to reach the lost and a greater sense of urgency in our appeals. Now here's the amazing thing about Jonah, and we're going to get to this as we go on. Jonah was so happy to be preaching repentance and judgment to those people. Because in his little brain, in his little Hebrew brain, he thought God was going to rain down fire and brimstone on Nineveh. Jonah didn't go there hoping that they would repent. He went there hoping God would give them what they deserved. Say, how could that be? Well, wait till we get to the end of the story. He got really kind of depressed when God showed mercy to the inhabitants of Nineveh. So let's not make that mistake. Let's not take the message of the gospel hoping that it will be a judgment and a witness to people. Let's go hoping that people will be saved. That's really a huge difference between kind of the attitudes in the Old Testament and the attitude of the New Covenant that Jesus Christ brought in. A lot more grace and mercy. Nineveh was given 40 days to repent, to turn from their idols, and to serve the living God. They would have 40 days to humble themselves in the sight of the living God, or His wrath would overthrow the city. And I thought, how amazing that God gave them a time. You got 40 days. They were able to tell their children, talk to people. Listen, the prophet said we got 40 days. God wasn't obligated to give them 40 minutes. They were sinners, corrupt, polluted, idolaters. They deserved the wrath of God to come down on their heads. Nineveh could have been destroyed by God without warning. And He would have been perfectly just in His dealings with them. You see, all men deserve the fires of hell for their sins. And this truth is not being preached in our day and age. Preachers are scared to death to preach about the judgment of God. They won't tell people the truth. That God's judgment is real. That hell's hot. That the lake of fire is infinite and for all eternity. And no matter who you are, no matter what the color of your skin, how old you are, how big or small you are, where you live, your position in society, the message is all the same. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man does not measure up. That's truth. How many times have I said it to you? You are not good enough. You do not have what it takes to get to heaven. That's why you need Jesus Christ. It's why you need... Now, you may be a good person in relationship to me. You know, you start measuring you to me, and you might say, whoa, I feel really good about myself. I mean, Brother Ross, he's a scoundrel in a lot of ways. A lot of times, that's how we measure goodness, is we measure ourselves against one another. I mean, you could go to the prison and you could ask those prisoners and they, I'm not near as bad as that guy. You know, he's in for such and such. It's our nature. It's the way we are. It's how we measure things. We operate by a false standard. What we ought to look at, every individual ought to look at God's law and the person of Christ, Jesus Christ, the only one who fulfilled all the law. And if you really examine yourselves in light of God's law and the person of Jesus Christ, the life of Christ, then you'll understand how far short you really fall. And hopefully it'll bring you to an end of yourself so that you'll trust Jesus Christ. One of the biggest things that's wrong with people is we're all way too self-righteous. Everybody thinks they're a whole lot better than they really are. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm a sinner saved by sovereign grace. Were it not for Christ, I don't even know if I'd be alive right now. I'm nothing without Him. He's changed my life so miraculously. Literally from darkness to light. Everybody deserves hell. No one deserves the mercy and grace of God extended to them. If God dealt in just pure fairness and inflexible justice with every man without exception, everyone would perish in their sins without warning. Yet God has been pleased to deal with multitudes in grace. Now, I'm going to kind of put a bow on this, some practical applications of these first four verses. Number one, from the account of Jonah's obedience to God, we see that God does control and change the hearts and attitudes of men. When God determines for an individual to do a work, it will be accomplished according to God's decree. Philippians 2:13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Jonah did everything possible to not go to Nineveh. God said, "You know what? It's obvious. You're going to have to go to Whale Tech. You're going to have to learn some lessons. Because I've got a job for you to do, and you're going to do it, son." Jonah went to Nineveh most willingly after God chastised him severely. God has a way of getting men to do just what He wants. Psalm 110 verse 3 is so powerfully true. "Thy people shall be willing in the day of Thy power," illustrating that man's rebellious will can be overcome by God's divine will and power. You see, God's will was for Jonah to go to Nineveh. Jonah's will was to say, "No! I'm going to Tarshish. I ain't listening." That was Jonah's will. God changed His will. Number two, when God's people willingly serve Him out of a heart of ready and cheerful obedience, God will grant them the courage to carry out His orders. As a mere man, Jonah would have had every reason to fear the inhabitants of Nineveh, but as a servant of God, he was fearless as he preached. We need not fear the faces of men if God has promised to be with us. Hebrews 13:5-6, "For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Number three, we need to follow the example of Jonah's earnest, plain, and urgent preaching to the sinners of Nineveh. We don't know who the elect are, but we know that we have an urgent message to declare. We don't know when individuals are going to die and go out into eternity. May God burden our hearts to preach the pure gospel of grace with a sense of urgency and a spirit of compassion. And fourthly and finally, if God has been pleased to allow you to sit under the ministry of a plain speaking preacher, count yourself blessed. There are many in our day who tickle men's ears, who tell men what they want to hear rather than what they need to hear. When God raises up men to preach repentance and judgment to come, He is dealing with them in mercy. And I pray that God will grant you space to repent and turn to Christ. Nineveh had 40 days, but you're not guaranteed another 40 minutes. Ezekiel 18:30 says, "Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin." I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but I am a gospel preacher. You may not get a whole lot of eloquence, but I am going to preach what the Bible says. Not my ideas, not my opinions, but what the Bible says. Pray that God will bless that preaching. We're dismissed.